considered the whole fund analysis?
Is it in the general fund analysis?
It says budget worksheet report fiscal year, and then it's page 26 of the whole thing. It doesn't have, let's see.
Line 26 is up.
I said that section.
I'll find you a section.
I have a section, yeah.
I'll find you a section, hang on. Many pages in here.
Is.
Section five.
Oh. Is the org, the org that you're talking, is it 10/30/20?
No, she's saying the general guardian administration.
Look, it's page 26, section 5, organization 10/30/20.
You're looking at the page.
Oh, you're looking at the page.
Page
itself.
Yeah.
I was talking about the top left number on your document. Okay, hold on.
I'm so sorry.
So let's get there. That's okay. That's page 59.
Yeah.
And it's the the public guardian administrator.
That.
General fund?
Who is that person? What does that person do? What is that? What is
they
that
become
for?
The conservators of those that cannot
take care of themselves.
Take care of themselves, and we take over their medical care, their funding,
okay.
And all their needs.
And okay.
I definitely have something to say about that when
it
came.
I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions for us over here?
Yeah, but I've lost it.
I'll
I had a lot of questions way. About it yesterday when I was looking at it. But
I'll jump in with a question.
Yes,
if you find this reserved, I'll come back to you.
That was
okay.
The first question, was what they did specifically.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. And if you have another question, I'll come back to you.
I will note that it is a mandated program. So
okay.
The department is nudging me to make sure I mention that.
Okay. And then, so that money comes from the general fund? So there's no outside funding for that. All those heads are shaking. Okay. Huh. There will be more questions.
Okay.
My mind's going. Okay,
sounds
thank
good.
You. I won't belabor it.
I'm going to kind of just take a little bit. I'll jump in with a question.
Yes.
Ms. Davis?
Yes.
Looking at the budget, it looks like there's about 10 employees in the CEOs that you'd be adding one. Deputy or one position into it. Sorry, no, yeah, one position into it. Could you explain how that's working out?
Yes, we are moving.
Because I know reading the worksheet's a little. Yeah.
It can be tricky if you're not,
yeah.
You don't do it every day. So, actually, what is occurring is that we have a position that is housed within flood control, and we are moving that position to natural resources, which is under the county administrative budget umbrella, so to speak. So it's truly just an accounting change. It has nothing to do with adding a position, changing the position. The person that sits in the position, there's nothing changing. It's simply an accounting change. And because of that, we do have to bring it to you for approval because we are moving a position from one accounting to another.
So. And we've already invested a lot, it's Sigma, isn't it? We've already invested
correct.
A lot into that
correct.
Resource. All right.
Correct, yes.
Right. But thank you, you answered my question.
Okay. You remembered.
Ding, ding, ding. Explain estate fees to me with having to do with the public guardian.
I will have to defer to Angela.
Trish, do you want to have Trish, because I can speak to it in general terms, but I think you'd probably be more specific as to.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Trish Barbieri, Director for Social Services Division with the Health and Human Services Agency. The Health and Human Services Agency's Social Services Division is required to provide public guardian, public conservator services. You mentioned public guardian. And that in response to your question with regard to estate fees, when we work closely with County Office of County Council through what's called Lantraman Petra Short Act, and those are individuals who are mentally ill and unable to provide either three things, and that is accept housing, accept food, or accept clothing. They are in need of assistance from the state or from the county. And then we also deal with the probate conservatorships, and again, those are individuals who don't have family who can provide for their care, mental care, or health care, and the county has to step in through the courts. We receive permission to handle their estates. And so oftentimes there are fees that we're able to assess and we're able to collect on some of the services that we provide. And I can also provide a little bit more with regard to funding, in that there was legislation this year that went forward and did not pass to fund, to receive federal or state funding for the public guardian. Didn't gain any momentum at the state. And so I'm sure everybody's heard of CARES Court. There's more conversation about funding for public guardian and public conservator as well.
Are you saying the state doesn't have a surplus?
No, I did not say that.
We've already spent it.
But you thought it.
We have been asking, there is a very strong advocacy group, the California Public Administrator, Public Guardian, Public Conservator Association, and Scarlett Hughes, I'm not sure if you've heard of her before, very strong advocate. She has been working with the state to try to get some money to the counties to fund these positions, and it just has not been successful.
What's the figure statewide, just roughly?
I don't know. Supervisor Cops.
It's not $100 billion.
No.
I mean, what, $5 million, $10 million-ish?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
It would be good to know, because, okay. I mean, here it is, what, almost a couple hundred thousand, mm-hmm. roughly, for just our county times 58, so.
Right. We do share in the cost with behavioral health services, where they're able to pay for certain services. They do pay for the placement services for many of these clients that are conserved, very expensive. So there is some state contribution that happens, at least for their care. But in terms of the positions, the county is required to fund those positions.
Yeah, there's just no subsidy there, and then the estate fees are very small.
Because many of the people, right, they have nothing.
They have nothing.
They have very little.
So we seem to be, I hate to say the word, stuck with funding this position with no support from the state or very little when. Yeah, okay, I'll leave it there.
We continue to explore creative ideas in terms of different funding revenues and time study codes that we can enter into the social services claim. I'm working with our deputy director right now and identifying those codes, and so we may be able to reduce this. I don't know significant by how much, whether it'll be significant or not, but we continue to explore reducing the burden and the cost for the county.
Great. I'd love to hear back on that.
Thank you.
Anything else, Rosemary?
Thank you, Trish.
Okay. Board comments or questions?
Well, it's funny, Trish, you mentioned Ms. Margaret, CARES Court. It's a big pushback. I just led a kitchen cabinet Thursday, pushing back on the state. You know, they want to implement something. There's the funding, the ongoing funding. They're not going to fund the positions.
Right.
Yet if you don't do something, they're going to penalize you type thing. There's no capacity in a rural county, which is what I've been saying. Anyways, there's just a lot moving on that whole front.
There is a lot of momentum on that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may continue.
Absolutely.
Are you done? Do you have any more questions? I don't want to interrupt.
Go ahead.
No. Interrupt your thought.
I got
plenty of questions.
I'm done
with that, Trish. I was looking at, and I will say that, and I appreciate, I appreciate everything that we try to do here. You know, every budget is different. Mm-hmm. Contributions to other agencies, I mean, that's a whole different deal. I mean, before, I think it was like what we as a board authorized and whatever. You know what I'm not seeing on that is the EDC. Where is that funding for? Or am I just not seeing it?
That is because they have their own budget.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I just, that's where I've seen it before.
Oh, yes.
Okay. The other thing, and I know I've asked you this before because I think it's helpful for the general public, particularly the employee unions. I see the general fund used by department. It would help me, particularly talk about constituents, percentage. What's the, you know, we all know the sheriff is the biggest use of the general fund, but I don't see a percentage, and I'm not smart enough, quick enough to calculate it when I'm talking to a constituent. Mm-hmm. And so all those things. So when we talk about, and I'm going to use the CAO's office, mm-hmm. you know, well, any of these on the small, they're very small percentage of the budget. Yet people perceive that, oh, we just moved someone there and we added a headcount, although there's, it's just a trade-off, right? But it's helpful when I go to talk to constituents, so if we can, in the future, move towards what those percentages are.
Is that chart, though, that shows the government funds appropriations where it breaks down public protection, public assistance?
Correct. It's figure 8 on page 24 of the document. However, it does not include percentages, so we can actually add percentages, because right now it's broken out by dollar amounts. With a graph chart, so we can add the percentages, so it'll just be helpful, a helpful tool to be able to communicate that.
Well, particularly for the constituents who are looking,
right.
You know, when they ask about where are we spending the money,
yeah, no,
right?
But the one I'm looking at, the pie chart has percentages. Is that what you're referring to? It's got 41% public protection, 21% public assistance, health and sanitation, 20%, general, 8%.
Well, I'm looking on page 17 here. This graph that goes
yeah.
across.
No, I'm just looking.
You're looking
at
the appropriations.
Yeah.
The governmental fund. No,
yeah.
That's governmental funds.
Yeah, governmental funds. Is that accurate or no?
That's more than general fund.
Okay.
It's governmental
it.
Funds,
oh,
so
okay.
it's not specifically
it's all.
Just general.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. That's where I get that question.
This is probably Utopia Bill, but you know, this is, you know. It takes a lot of effort, even for someone who's been involved with it for a long time. It would almost like we need a cheat sheet for the public to get to, you know, just the generic thing.
Yes.
If they want to go into the minutia, it's available to them. Mm-hmm. But most of them just want to know how much am I spending on X, you know, type thing.
Okay.
And this would be for the, you know, next year. Think next year.
Right.
You know, as we always try to improve. You know, and again, it's about being transparent.
Correct. Yeah. And that's the goal of the budget highlights.
Absolutely.
But you know, we can definitely. Tailor it.
I think, sorry, I'll jump in.
No.
I think just kind of maybe in that cheat sheet, a description of general fund and non-general fund.
I
agree. Just when we have it, when we do the cheat sheet, it's
just to talk
about just a description of what we control and what our pass-through funds that come through us. Just a kind of a definition of what this is and what this is, a general fund and non-general fund is, so the public knows what are pass-through funds and what we direct. I hope that makes sense to you.
It does. It's contained in the budget highlights,
well,
but if
you
need to...
I'm just saying that when you do the...
Put more detail, that's fine. We can do
yeah,
that.
When you do the cheat sheet, include that,
mm-hmm.
is all I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
No, this is for next year, you know, this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'd be happy to think about what it would look like to me, you know, and please give some input because
mm-hmm.
I get calls, particularly this time of year, and unfortunately the negotiations are
at
happening
the same
time, so
correct.
You know, people are, you know, inquisitive as well they should be,
mm-hmm.
so.
Correct, yeah.
That's Supervisor Hawk.
Yeah, sure. That's my opinion.
We'll see.
Maybe. with the 8.5% increase in funds that won't be sustained in the future, how many, in order to come to balance, how many FTEs with the employee negotiations do we have tied to that?
To the 8.5% increase?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand your question. The salary increases were for all positions throughout the county?
Yeah.
With anticipated increases,
yeah,
not
the statement was made. We used the 8.5
mm-hmm.
to balance
a portion
the
of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that the 8.5% is the increase in our budget as compared to last year.
Correct.
And so, what's contained within that 8.5% is COVID, projects, non-COVID funding that for COVID, and then also included in that increase are the potential salary increases that will be experienced through negotiations, and that's for the entire county employee.
So, looking forward,
yes,
8.5% isn't going to be there. I don't
correct
long term.
Correct that increase,
and that 1 year increase far exceeds our annual increase in revenue coming into the county. How many FTEs are tied to that that we'll be looking to try and fund other ways going forward in out years? And that might be an unfair, I mean, that's a pretty complicated question.
Well, it's simply because
I'm concerned about sustainability.
Correct, for layoffs for staff,
yes,
is what you're getting down,
yes,
to, the nitty gritty. And so with that 8.5% increase in the budget, some of those projects are not going to be there next year, or the funding will not be there. If it's grant funding or revenue streams for COVID, it's typically a one-time funding stream. We've used it and it'll go away. With regards to the salary increases, we are doing our best to make sure that we're able to sustain that from here forevermore. That's why we enter into three-year agreements preferably, so that we can sustain without layoffs. However, as you may be aware, the budgets are very much a slippery slope, and depending upon the economy, there is absolutely no way to say how many FTEs that may cost us in the future, or if it will at all.
Just voicing my apprehension,
yes,
that mm-hmm. I'm being asked to commit to 2 and 3 year contracts,
mm-hmm,
for money that may not be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that.
Yep.
So if I can just...
But I'm apprehensive, I don't know what the magnitude of that is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more?
So if I could, I know that when we talk about any of the ARPA funding and all that, we did not tie any full-time equivalents to those,
no,
those monies.
No.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
They were all project, you know, building related.
Project based.
One time, because we knew we weren't going to be able to sustain it.
Correct.
This is their salary tied.
But
the
salary piece of it, that piece, you are correct.
Yeah.
However, we are taking the past 5 year average, looking forward, with the potential of revenue, what we anticipate to receive, and that's why we're able to go out 3 years, preferably is what we prefer to do, is the 3 year out years, so that we can then have a solid budget. So next year we know with those MOUs that have settled exactly what those salary increases will be for the next 3 years, as opposed to now on those MOUs that are not settled, we're kind of guessing of what might be the salary increase. So.
Okay. I'll rest.
All right. Supervisor Cobson?
I think he wants a county revenue survey. To get my drift.
I think I said that before.
It's, yeah, contained within your budget.
We're hiring someone, well, potentially future, for $96,000 to do, mm-hmm, salary compensation surveys,
mm-hmm,
but we never look at revenue. Because,
well, yes, we do. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Before we go into the MOU negotiation process, no,
yeah,
I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah.
Before we enter in negotiations, we actually have numerous meetings where we sit down with the Auditor Controller's Office and we go over the budget and we look at out years, we look at projects, we look at the sustainability of increases, and we then decide what is comfortable and what is uncomfortable, what we can, what we cannot do, and then I come to you, to the board, to discuss those fiscal numbers. So no, we absolutely do an analysis. We don't just pull a number out of our back pocket. We have to be able to be confident when we go to the table to have negotiations that we are bargaining in good faith, that we are able to sustain the increases that we're placing on the table. So no, we would not place anything on the table that I had any apprehension of sustainability for the next 3 years. Now after that, yeah.
Perfect, thank you. So a couple of things. Am I ready?
You're ready.
So there's a lot of talk of recession up there.
Yes.
And
So what happens, is there the potential of even this funding that's going to expire in 2026, is there the potential of any of that going away?
What do you mean, like being taken away?
Taken away,
from
taken
no.
back.
No.
It's committed.
It is committed. It is, it's okay. One of the assurances that we have received from the Department of Finance that it is your allocation and you have received it and it is yours, that
okay.
they will not take it back.
Okay.
No.
Fair enough.
Now, if we didn't spend it, then I'm sure they would love to have it returned.
Yeah. Okay.
But we're not going to allow that to happen.
Okay. So, are we anticipating with the cost of fuel, obviously, is that in the budget and enough to compensate where we're at? Because just
yeah.
mileage alone, that's going to change. Mm-hmm. I know it's got to.
Mm-hmm.
But just the activity of just departments that are consuming fuel, mm-hmm. is that built into this? Yeah.
So during the budget hearings, that was quite a discussion. Probably every department
brought
up.
Brought
up the cost of fuel. And so we're watching that carefully. It's unfortunately, it goes back to the department being able to manage their mm-hmm. scope of work and what they're responsible for and how they're able to maybe consolidate services to maximize their fuel dollars. And so, so no, it is definitely a concern. However, we're watching it closely, and the department's, it's definitely on the forefront because it was discussed at each budget hearing.
We don't anticipate it to, I guess, decrease services that are, I mean, in a normal family household, you're going to cut your budget just to make sure you can make ends meet. But we're kind of different in the sense that, yes, we have to abide by the budget, but there's services that are expected, and fuel costs could drive those services, that cost of that service up, but yet that service has to be maintained.
Right. And of course, as we know, it depends upon the service, because if it's
right.
a funding that is from the federal or the state funding stream, that gets claimed back. So those expenses can be claimed. If it's a general fund expense, that's again relied on the department head to manage those services. And again, we are fully aware of that, and we're trying our best to make sure that services aren't cut, but maybe a creative new way of delivering that service in order to maximize our fuel usage, just like you would at home.
A side note I saw, and I'm not advocating for this one way or the other, but a major provider, I won't say the name of the company,
mm-hmm.
is anticipating having drone service from the from 30 minutes from the time you order it to your door. Can
oh,
you
yes.
believe that? So
yes.
I don't know how
actually
that works.
Have that happening right now. Yes,
okay.
they do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I guess, just for clarification, you bring out in the budget that the county operates roughly off of 21-22% of the property tax revenue.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't understand that 68% of that goes to schools, six-ish, and I'm giving rough numbers to
right,
cities
right.
and the rest of special districts. When I get calls about why are there potholes in my road,
mm-hmm.
the road department does not receive any general fund revenue at all. They basically are excise tax and secure rural schools.
Secure rural
correct?
Schools. Correct.
That's still,
mm-hmm.
that hasn't changed.
That has not changed.
Okay. And I guess lastly, talk a little bit more about the carryover, because I think this is the first year that I haven't had the CAO calling me and saying we're millions in the red going into preliminary budget. I know carryover is important, but it's also important out of the auditor's office to get numbers that, and I've heard already that the tools that you were provided
mm-hmm.
You haven't had before.
Correct.
Because this has always been a juncture of the CAO pulling their hair out. I don't know how else to say it, because it's either $1.5 to $5 million in the red, and we're all scrambling around to figure out what do we do before we issue pink slips. I think this is the first time that we haven't had that.
And that is why I made mention of it earlier, is that, no, I didn't have to pull my hair out. I was anxiously waiting to see how the numbers were going to fall out, but we did have resources this year to be able to identify the carryover early on so that we could use that as a benchmark of what deficit we truly were dealing with. And so on page 7 of the budget highlight, it does go into a little bit more detail about general fund carryover. And it does sway from year to year. And it, what that is the general fund balance that either we received more revenue than we anticipated, or our expenditures came in less than what we expected or budgeted for. So that amount is carried over to the next year. We are in a model of what you call deficit budgeting, which means that when we receive our recommended budget, we are asking for much more than what we have on hand. And so that carryover is incredibly important because that then subsidizes that deficit budgeting. And so then what happens is we add that carryover into that main deficit, and then the remainder is where 2 years ago I was saying, oh my goodness, we're going to have to cut 25% of this and that, and then last year it was department, sorry, but you're going to have to cut 10% within your budget, find it, I don't know where you want to, but this year it was a pleasure not to have to make or send that email. So that, again, is because of the resources that we were made available to very early on, that we could monitor those numbers and be able to better assess what we, where we were and where we needed to be, so.
And so lastly, just to follow up on that for the public, because carryover, they're probably going, what the heck is that?
Right, and the misnomer is that it's sitting in a fund somewhere that we can just expend,
yeah.
And that is not true.
Right.
It's very similar to your own budgeting at home at the end of the month. Oh my goodness, I have $500 left over that I can put in my savings account because I didn't expect $500 left over. It's that where you budgeted to come to zero, but you had this $500 extra. This carryover enables us then to go into the next year being able to balance our budget. Otherwise, we would be sitting in front of you, and I'm going, this is getting to the nitty gritty, but we literally would be before you talking about layoffs.
Right.
If we did not have that carryover,
right.
We would definitely have to have layoffs because we're talking almost $4 million in the red for our recommended budget without the carryover. So it's just, and that's why they call it a carryover. So there is a misnomer that it's something that we can pull from, we can, you know, use it on salaries. That is not true. Carryover is something that needs to be utilized for
it's
that.
It's what keeps us a bit sustainable.
It's what keeps us afloat.
And
but it's a cautionary tale,
right.
As Sherry pointed out, is that there may come a day, if we continue to spend on a track that is not conservative, or if we start getting a little crazy with our money, then no, we will be in that position where we will not have the carryover necessary to be able to sustain our budget. And so that's our job, is to make sure that doesn't happen.
And lastly, I guess, if I said lastly once too many, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just
but
keep
you
it
triggered
going.
This time last year, after preliminary, we were kind of like hang on for life until adopted because
yes.
We didn't know where we were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to commend your office and your staff,
yes, sure.
As well as the auditor's office and the department heads, because I know that interaction as a team in total produces the positive results we're hearing today.
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you.
No, thank you. Very excited.
Any last one? Just joking.
You want another one?
If you want to, you're the captain. It's funny. It's funny. That's your razor hop?
I go first, lastly.
Okay. No, you're fine. And yeah, you're perfectly fine with your questions, yeah.
I wasn't going to ask this, but I'm going to. I'm going to look at the revenue side again.
Yes, sir.
So, everybody's asking for different things to be transparent in this. One of the things that would help me, and I don't know if it's too much to ask or not, as we look at the revenue section, you know, that's what I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at property tax receipts, I'm looking at sales and use tax receipts, and pretty slow growth in the county. What I don't see is why. it's my perception anyway, that it's easier to develop a business in a city than it is in a county. And I want to know why. I want to know in the revenue section what barriers departments have identified that need to be fixed to encourage business and encourage growth in the county. I'm going to leave it at that.
Note taken.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And anything else?
Nope.
On this side, anything as far as over, as far as around Smiley? And if I spoke, I'd just be repeating what everyone said. So I want to respect that and would entertain a motion by any board members on the subject. And along that, it's just one
all
motion.
All one deal?
All one deal motion.
Correct. As Wendy had stated in the beginning. Please.
Okay.
We've covered a lot of ground since.
We did, and it's not only the adoption of the budget, but it's all the adoption of the salary schedule and the resolution, and so everything that Wendy said.
Everything Wendy said.
And it's all included in the.
It's all included in
that recommended motion.
Move to approve.
Yep.
Motion.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call vote.
Okay, Supervisor Hupp.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
I'll be in a.
And if we could take a break.
Yeah, we'll take a 5-minute break here. For everybody online, we'll come back in about 5 minutes.